Okay, good morning. We're completing Shin Chaf Gimel today. Today's share is sponsored by Ilei Nishmas Etel Bat Reb Avram. Okay, Shin Chaf Gimel Yud, last Seif. Ein Chofefim Kelim B'Melach. Just to finish up washing dishes, we should not do it with salt. If it's like salt that's not been, it's not already been melted or diluted in water, just grains of salt. Why? Because when you're rubbing it with water, lefisha hamelach nimcha kishechofech bechazaka. When you're rubbing hard with the salt, you're going to cause the salt to melt, and since you're doing it actively with your hands, that's the same din as rubbing snow and ice. And that's a din of nolad. Obviously, if it's mixed with water and it's not nikar, then that wouldn't be a problem. Okay, but I have never heard of anyone washing dishes with salt. But at least the principle we get. Shenichav dalad. Now some halachot of how to feed your animals. Feeding animals. Okay. Shenichav dalad. Aleph. Ein kovrin atevin. Now, when we're discussing this, we're going to be doing a little review of different melachot involved. And yisurei darabanan. Just scattered through the siman. Aleph. Ein kovrin atevin bichvara. Shiyipol hamotz la'aretz. Okay, so now, person has a sifter, and they want to sift out the chaff or the bad parts from the fodder that they want to feed, or the straw to feed to the animals. So you can't, asur, to sift out the bad, start shaking it out. V'lo yenichenu v'makom shgavoa kadei shiyaret hamotz. And you also can't hang it up in a place. The whole purpose is for the bad parts to drop out. You can't hang it up high. And I guess just on its own, your kavana is for have it to come out, to be sifting. And just by hanging it up, or possibly with the wind, it helps. And that's aser. Because you're placing it there, you're putting it there into the sifter, and you're placing it in a position in order to sift. However, aval notel bichvara v'notel antoch ayvus. You're allowed to take a sifter, right? A kli miyuchad for sifting, fill it up with the fodder, and carry it. You're using that just as a bucket or a kli just to transport it. So you're allowed to do that and carry it over to the evus, the trough or manger. That's where they eat from. Alfal pi shehamotz nofel me'elav mutar kivan she'enu mechavein. If the whole purpose is only just to transport it, and even though memela, it's falling out, the assumption is it's a davar she'eno mechavin. You're not having kavana to sift, and it's not a psik resha. So lemaisa, it depends on what kind of sifter you have and what's getting sifted. But if it's what you're doing and you're carrying it without shaking it, and you're just carrying it carefully, and it's not a psik resha, it's mutter. If the situation of what you have is it's a kli meyuchad and it is a psik resha, then it would be asr. But lo yimdor adam se'orim latelif nibehem to'ale mishaer be'omed da'ato. Person should, when he wants to give a certain measurement to his animal to feed him, you should not take a kli and measure it out exactly to the grams or liters or whatever you got, and then feed it to him that way, in order to measure how much you give him to put in his trough or his bowl to eat. So that's asr to make that special measurement. It's a gzera of, it looks like you're selling, and so there is a takana or gzera against making measurements. Gimel, right? Which is all, I think the main issue is that it might lead to writing down. So that's where that's where it comes from. That's the gzera. Gimel, ein govlin morsin lebehema ola tana golim. Okay, and a little bit of lash. You can't start mixing the bran, this fodder, with water in order to feed it to your animal. The purpose is to make it into a paste. And just a quick recap. So when it comes to mixing, so if you're going to mix two items and they really transform into one, so that's when you can have lash. It's called at Chazal lashon of bar gibul. You're able to turn it into mixing into a paste, and that's what could be an iser deraisa if it's thick. If it's the runny, then it's the rabbanon. If you're just taking two items that now when you mix them, they don't really become one item, they just stick together. Perhaps a good example could be matzah meal. So it's not like flour and water. Flour and water becomes one. some items, they mix together and they become like a paste, but they're not really transformed into one proper, they're not really transformed into one item when it mixes together. It just sticks together. So that's this din of morsan, of bran. So it doesn't, similar to perhaps matzah meal. I heard that example from Aviner. So again, and so then if it sticks together, it's called la, but it's not really transformed into one paste, that's what we call lav bar gibul. And so that's when it's, we hold it's derabanan. And then you have to treat it, you can only mix it if it's done with a shin. That's what we're going to see over here. So just also we mentioned again by egg salad and tuna salad, many hold it's not even considered a mixture, that it's not a problem at all. And some say you should mix it with a shinui. So here we are. Aval notnim bo mayim uma'avir bo tarvad o makel sheti ve'erev. So when you're allowed to, this opinion, the first opinion holds, you're allowed to put in the food first and then add the water. Right? There's a machloket if adding the water itself is aser deraisa derabanan. Anyways, here we're talking about an iser derabanan. So the first opinion holds you're allowed to add the water, because perhaps you might think the water, pouring the water in, when you pour the water, when that water splashes into the bowl and fills it up, that starts the mixing process. So that's that machloket. So anyway, so here, Shulchan Aruch, first opinion, we're talking about an iser derabanan, you let it pour in the water. And then, you have to mix it with the ladle or the stick, but it has to be done with a shinui. Kevan she'eno, right, shetivere means like a X or a cross shape. Kevan, because normally you mix it in a circular motion. So that's what he says here. Kevan she'eno memares biyado velo misabe atarvat o amakel mutar. Since you're not stirring in the normal circular fashion with your hand or with your stick, so then, or a ladle, since you're not a spoon, since you're not mixing that way, it's mutar, because you're doing it with a shinui. So that's how to prepare this food for your animal. Umenaro, and obviously it's the same for people. Umenaro mikli al kli kidei shit arev. Another way of mixing is you can pour it from one kli to another. And as you're constantly pouring it back from one kli to another, you're going to end up mixing it. That's also done the shinui. So that's also mutter. I remember growing up as a friend, I once saw an older friend, I was younger at the time, and he had a cup of hot water for his kids to drink, and it was too hot for them to drink. Again, I don't know how well this works, but I remember Meron, he was my friend, he was pouring from one cup to the other, and from high up, so as the water would pour down in the air, the purpose was to cool it down. Not related to this, just reminding me of it. Mutar la'arev amorsan b'derech zo b'kli echad. Now, you're allowed to mix. You're allowed to mix the morsan this way, even with one kli. Umechalik oto b'kelim harbe v'notin lifnei kol behema behema. Let's say each animal, you need a huge amount, because you have lots of animals. Each animal gets its own bowl. And so you're allowed to do all the mixing in one bowl, and then pour it into each one. And it doesn't matter how much. Well, it actually, it sort of does. It needs to be where it's enough for them to have during the day for Shabbos, so that you're not mixing extra for after Shabbos. Kor is a normal amount for an animal or to eat. Again, it depends on the animal, depends on the situation, but that's just an example. It's a normal portion for the animal for the day. So therefore, you're allowed to mix even a kor. In other words, there's no, as long as it's going to be used on Shabbos, there's no maximum amount. And if you look crime, if you have more than one animal. V'yesh osrin, v'itein mayim agabe morsan b'Shabbos. But here's, there's a opinion, this is a more machmer opinion. Okay. Right, not to pour it in. V'note, here it is. You can't pour the water in on Shabbos. You have to first either pour in the water first and then the other items, or you have to at least pour it in Erev Shabbos. But the mixing could be done Sheti V'Erev on Shabbos as long as you pour it in the water Erev Shabbos. And Mishnah Berurah points out that Ashkenazim Ramachmer Lachadchila, like the second opinion. But it could be, but Bishat Adchak, it could be Mekel, at least with a Goy. Okay, let's go on. Dalet. Kashim Shel Shibolim Shekoshim Bishnayim or Bishlosha Mekomos. Now, another example, now we're going to touch upon Kesha, Ksharim. Knots are really undoing knots. You have food, you want to feed to the animals, and they're tied up into bundles. So, mutar lehatiran kedei shetochal mehen abehema. So the first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to untie the knots on Shabbos in order to feed the animals. When it comes, because for the purpose, we're assuming. So this is a question. This is discussed in the poskim. What are we talking about? Are we talking about a kesha shel kayama? Are we talking about a kesha that's deraisa or derabanan? So, the Shulchan Aruch writes, you're allowed to untie them in order to feed the animal. No problem. Here, we'll just, bottom line here, let's read the Haggah. V'yesh omrim, delo shari lahate ela b'kesha she'eno shel kayama. The Rama says that you're only allowed to untie a knot that's not shel kayama. For the animals, right? The question is, for the animals, can we be more makel by untying knots? So the Rama says no, and it's a machloket achronim how to interpret the Shulchan Aruch. So many would be machmer for Sfardim, not sure according to all opinions. So the best thing to do is just to cut the string. This does happen many times. We get basket of food on Shabbos, and there's a knot around it. So certainly, to be yotze, for sure, to call a deus would be to cut the knot, cut the package, and not deal with if you could untie it or not. Aval asur l'shafshef behem b'yadayim k'derech she'osim b'ochle behema k'dei sheyehu nochim l'ochlam. Now, what happens? Can you rub the food? Because sometimes it's very difficult. It depends. Bottom line, we'll just say, let's read it. You'll see the klal over here. If the food is edible the way it is, but it's going to be more comfortable for the animal if it's even softer, then it's aser. You can't go out of your way to rub it and soften it if it's already edible. Lo tarchinan bei. No, I skipped. The shivui ochel b'davar she'ino ochel mutar la'asor to ochel. Because if the food is not edible, you're allowed to prepare it. You're always, well, not always, but generally speaking, you're allowed to take the food and prepare it, as long as you're not doing it in Issa Deraisa, and perhaps on Issa Derabanan. You're allowed to prepare the food for the animal he needs to eat. However, aval mitrach b'ochla b'davar shu'a u'ila achila, but whenever the food is edible, maybe it could be more easy to eat, but if it's already edible, there's a principle, zendin derabanan, lo tarchinan bei lahakshira u'latachna yoter. We don't go out, you don't do extra effort on Shabbos in order to make the food even better for the animal. And it's a tircha to go and start rubbing it. I'm not sure exactly how difficult and how time consuming it was, but even a small tircha in general, we see is aser derabanan. If it's fully edible, just you want to make it better, that's when it's. And the reason why you're allowed to make it edible, let's say it's not edible at all, and you need to rub it, or you need to cut it up, we'll see. So then, it's because of the tzarech and the tzar of the animal, therefore, Chazal said, for sure you're allowed to, there's no iser derabanan of tircha when the animal needs to eat, and okay, you need to help it. Hey, eitzim shekatzitzan mina ilan. You have tree branches, or food that's wood that's cut from the tree. So we're talking about some kind of a plant or tree where it's edible when it's still soft. So matirin umefaspasin v'shal mishifshuf v'hem l'achila she'ena mor'iyam v'lo shifshuf. So it's not edible if you don't soften it up and rub it out. I'm not exactly familiar what kind of plant or wood this is. But whatever it is, the principle is, if it's not edible, you're allowed to make it edible because all you're doing is rubbing. There's no yisurim over here. And there's no problem of tircha or tikkun when it comes to feeding the animal. Okay, vav. So now, let's say you have gourd or some kind of a vegetable you want to feed to the animal, and the only way it's edible is if you cut it up. Right? You know, it has the whole casing, the thick peel, whatever on the outside, can't get to it, or whatever the food is. If it's not edible until you cut it up, then you're allowed to cut it up, and otherwise it'd be in problem of tir chayesera. V'hu shenit l'shume etmon, obviously we're talking about, it was ready from before Shabbos. Because otherwise it'd be an issue of muksa. Zayin. Mechatchi nevela lifnei aklavim, afilu nitabla hayom. We're allowed to cut up a nevela, pieces of a nevela, even if it became a nevela today on Shabbos. You're allowed to feed it to the ant, to the dogs. Bein shehaita mesukenet, bein shehaita bria. Whether it's a mesukenet, or whether it was, when Shabbos kicked, set in, whether it was a mesukenet, it was in danger of dying. So in other words, you were thinking about it already to be useful as food for your animals. So it's not muksa. Ben shehaita bria. Whether it's considered healthy. Okay. Now some argue with if it's healthy. Shulchan Aruch's opinion that it's mutter, but some achronim are machmer. That if it's healthy, then you don't think about it as being for food, and therefore it's muksa when Shabbos kicks in. Yeah, so anyways, this case doesn't usually happen on Maisa in our days. What are we talking about? We're talking about a nevela that's not edible. It's too rough, it's too big, they can't eat it. It needs to be cut up into pieces. But if, again, it depends on the animal that's dead and that you're using as food, and it depends on the animal that's trying to eat it. But if it doesn't need to, it can eat it just the way it is. So then you're not allowed to, because we don't do extra work that's not necessary for the animal. We do whatever is necessary, but we can't do whatever is not necessary. Chet. Ein chotchin shachat. Perush, we're not allowed to cut shachat. What's shachat? It's yerek shel tevua sheniktzar term nitbashala hatevua. If you have grain that's not really ripe yet, it's still green, it's not ready, and I think the reason is it's too hard, so you need to cut it up. No, you don't need to. Let's read. Ein chotchin shachat. Exactly. Since it's edible the way it is, since you took it when it's still soft and it's edible, they might like it if you cut it up, but you're not allowed to cut it up for them because it's already ready and we can't do extra work for them on Shabbos. Tet. Ein ofsinet ha-gamal. Ein ofsinet ha-gamal, dahainu shemachila biyado kokach. Okay, so this is an expression. Ein ofsi means you can't feed the animal, or here it's the camel. And the expression of ofsin is from the word in evus, which is a manger, a trough, where that's where you put the fodder in, or the straw, the food, for them to eat. So from the lashon of the evus, that's where the expression of ofsi means. You can't feed it with your hands so much food that it makes him wide. In other words, ki'ilu, you're going to make him so fat and wide as the trough. It's an expression. The point is, you can't stuff an animal. You give it what it needs to eat, but we can't be a dayim, keep on putting food into him to eat. Okay? That's a tircha for us, that we don't... We don't work so hard to feed it more than it needs to. V'lo dorsin, dehainu shedores lo ma'achal bibrono lemakom she'eniyachol lahachziro. You also can't shove the food down its throat, where it can't take it out anymore. Aval mal'itin. You're allowed to just put the food in its mouth, but you can't shove it down its throat, literally. Where then it can no longer spit it out. That's where it becomes asur. Alright, goes, okay. Ein ma'am, and then this is a similar halacha, the same halacha, just in different language a little bit. Ein ma'amirim et agalim. Also the same thing. You can't stuff it down its throat to the calves. Aval mal'itin, but you're allowed to put it in its mouth. So So now, what does that mean? Ezu, we just said it though. Ezu hamra'a, what is hamra'a? L'makom she'eni yachol lahachzir. It's where it can't push it out again with its tongue. You shoved it too far down its throat. That's what you're not allowed to do. Hal'ata, but just to put it, what's hal'ata that's mutter? L'makom she'hi yachol lahachzir. Okay, so there it can still kick it out with its tongue, or spit it out with its tongue. Haga v'din tarnagolim v'avazim k'din agalim, and the same halacha applies to chickens. Okay, now he just points out on the bottom in the Mishnah Berurah, but if there's no other way for him to eat, let's say the animal's not going to eat unless you shove it down its throat. And you have no choice. So he says you're allowed to do it once a day. I think he writes preferably with a non-Jew. But if you don't have a non-Jew, then you should get a katan to do it. Okay. And some are osur also, depending on the situation. Okay. Yud. Mutar litein machal b'fiim shel tarnagolim. You're allowed to put food in their mouth, into the chickens, no problem. Okay. Right? That's assuming you're not stuffing it down their throat. Yiral. Ein notni mayim velo mezonos lifnei devarim. This is an important halacha that comes up. You're not allowed to give food and water to bees. Why? Because they can go anywhere and get their own food and water. Velo lifnei yonei shovach veyonei aliyah. And not to doves that they come and go and they can get food on their own. V'lo lifnei chazir, and also not to the pig. Aval notinim lifnei avazim v'tarnagolim v'yonei bayatot. But the birds, whatever the birds are, chickens, doves, whatever they, if they're in your house and they're dependent upon you, then you are allowed to feed them. V'chen lifnei kelev shemezanotav alecha. Also your dog. Any pet or any animal that you have and they're dependent upon you, right? And they live in, or they're in a cage, they're in a fence, they're in your house, and they don't get food elsewhere, then, and they're dependent upon you, so then you have to feed them. But if it's an animal that easily and normally gets its own food elsewhere, so then we're not allowed to. It's considered a tircha for us. That's unnecessary tircha. Okay? So there's a question. Anyway, so many people have the custom. Is it here? Yeah. So many people have a custom to give on Rosh Hashanah. They do tashlich. They like to throw food to the bread or whatever to the fish. And also on Shabbos Shira, there's a custom on Shabbos to give bread to the food to the birds. Is that mutter or aser? So there is such a custom. So some do want to be matzdik the custom. Mishnah Berurah seems to say it's eino nachon. I don't know if it's aser or not aser, but it's certainly improper. Some say it's definitely aser because you're doing exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to do. You're feeding animals, and it's tircha that's not necessary. They don't need you. Some point out that if it's l'shem mitzvah, so that's called enough of a tzarech, and therefore, if you're doing a mitzvah, we don't say that's a tircha, that's aser to do. So again, getting rid of your sins, obviously, some consider a mitzvah, if that's really what you're doing, by the birds and tashlich, by the fish, and by the birds, what's the mitzvah, or what's the reason for the custom of throwing to the birds? So either because they also sing by Shiras Hayam, they said that they joined in and were also chirping and singing along. And so since we reward them that way, some say that also they sing all year long. And this is the time, and they sing to Kadosh Baruch Hu all year long. We know we hear them chirping early in the morning. And this is the one time a year that we reward them. Also they say, what's it called? One of the opinions is when Datan and Aviram left the man, so that's what happened in Shabbos Shira, it's the same parsha, it's the man, so Datan and Aviram left it out to show that it's no big deal. You don't have to listen to exactly whatever God tells you. God doesn't run the show. And so they left out the man, and in order for there not to be man in the morning to foil their plans, it was the birds who ate the man early in the morning before the people got out to see. Anyway, just Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa recommends, if you want to be Mekayim the Minag, take your tablecloth with crumbs after your meal and shake it outside in front of the birds, and you're not doing it, it's on a tircha, because you want to get rid of the crumbs from your table. So that would be an easy way to be yotzei the minhag, and not make a problem of tircha that's aser derabanan. Okay, I think we'll stop today and we're done.